Okay. Maybe before we start the puja, while waiting for the rest, for the benefit of I think Sister Kwan and the friend, I will just go through the objective again, so that they can understand the purpose of this retreat. So you turn to your program sheet first page. Introduction. Meditation retreat at Mahayana Tripajam Temple, San Pao 144 Brinchang, Cameron Highland, from 14 March to 22nd March 2015. Because they just came yesterday. So it's appropriate to go through one more time. For the rest, it's like refreshing yourself on the main purpose of this retreat. Introduction. This meditation retreat caters for all participants who may be from different background or tradition, Buddhist tradition, and of varying experiences. The purpose here is to understand, to develop the understanding of the meditation as taught by the Buddha, instead of focusing on method and technique of meditation. The program was prepared to allow participants to settle down slowly into the retreat proper via a less stringent first session, where most Dhamma understanding will be emphasized, followed by a more stringent second session, which is 18th of March onward until 22nd, so tomorrow onward. So tomorrow onward will be more stringent, where noble silence, heedfulness and diligent meditative cultivation will be emphasized. The main purpose of the retreat is for you all to realize the noble teachings of the Buddha via sincerely cultivating the much needed heedfulness or appamada as advised by the Buddha before his parinibbana. Appamadena sampadita, and via his Dhammapada was 183, 21, 22 and 23. So all this you can refer to your notes, a sutta note. Second purpose is to train ourselves during the retreat to develop a very stable daily mindfulness, silent mind with inner awareness. This is very important, leading to the heedfulness from the moment you commence your retreat. Then to diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration to cultivate sati sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability and non-delusion as a sign of our respect for the way place. The third intent and purpose is learn to be at ease and naturally relax and aware via heedfulness most of the time. Always move, speak and act naturally, but with inner awareness throughout the day to stabilize your five spiritual faculties until they become very stable and unshakable. Then the fourth purpose is, with the stable daily mindfulness or awareness, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path via constant creative contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, leading to the perfection of all the noble eightfold path factors of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, or right living, followed by right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. To maintain this heedfulness or appamada training throughout the day, to insight into the three characteristics of nature, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to the cessation of form and mind as taught by the Buddha. Lastly is to diligently develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma needed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The important essential Dhammas are the five mental hindrances or Pancha Nivaranas, the five spiritual faculty or Pancha Indriyas, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the seven factors of enlightenment or Satta Bhujanga, then Dana Sila Bhavana, and the five daily contemplation. You can also include the Paticca Samuppada or dependent origination. Okay, then now we can start the puja. Turn to your chanting book, page 6. We will do the invocation, then we will chant the Namatasa, followed by the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Okay. I will read you the English translation of the invocation. Then after that, we are getting to chant the Pali. Then together, we will start the Vandana. Okay, invocation to the Devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the Devas or deities come here. Let them hear this good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay.
Samantha Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta.
We chant together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehibaseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Inohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgō Yadidāṁ Chattāri Purisa Yokkane Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgō Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakhineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Okay, we will chant the dependent origination. Turn to page 8. Avijja pachaya sankhara, sankhara pachaya vijnana, vijnana pachaya namarupang, namarupa pachaya salayatana, salayatana pachaya pasok, Pasa pachaya vedana, vedana pachaya tangha, tangha pachaya upadana, upadana pachaya bhavo, bhava pachaya jati, jati pachaya jaramarana, Soka parideva dukkha domanasa supayasa sambhavanti evang metasa kevalasa dukkha kandasa samudayo hoti Avijaya veva asesa viraga nirotha sankara nirotha sankara nirotha vijnana nirodo vijnana nirotha nama rupang nirodo Namarupang nirodha Salayatana nirodha Salayatana nirodha Patsat nirodha Pasat nirodha Vedana nirodha Vedana nirodha Tangha nirodha Tangha nirodha upadana rinodo upadana nirodha bhava nirodo bhava nirodha jati nirodo jati nirodha jara marana soka parideva Dukkha nasa supayasa nirujanti evang metasa kevalasa karkandasa nirodho hoti sadhu 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 Now we will go on to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma. So we have covered the five hindrances of mind, the five spiritual faculty. We have developed the understanding of the following essential Dhamma, the four right effort, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, the five daily contemplation, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. This one we haven't covered. The five aggregate of form and mind we have covered. The 12 links also not yet. Four noble truths. Okay, maybe now I will cover the four noble truths. Okay. The Four Noble Truths are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So, from the seminar paper I have briefly mentioned, so it will be a lot easier for you all to understand. But I will elaborate a little bit more on the First Noble Truth, because this is very important. If you may recall, what did I share with you? This Four Noble Truths, why is it I call it the secret of life? And also is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Can you remember that? What is this Four Noble Truths? What does it tell you? Four Noble Truths. This one is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Correct? Why do you call essence? Means most important. Essence of Buddha's teaching. Why is it the essence? Oh, sorry. Why is it called the essence of the Buddha's teaching? Forgot already. So fast. Essence means what? The important, most important, the essence of chicken. You take the most important part of the chicken. So, essence of the Buddha's teaching is this Four Noble Truths. Because from there, all the teaching come. Understand? All the other teachings spin off from there. Can understand that part? All the essential Dhamma that he teach all come from this Four Noble Truth. Nothing is apart from this Four Noble Truth. And this Four Noble Truth also explain to you everything that you need to know about life. Both the mundane and the supramundane. That's why it's so powerful. That's why I told you about 40 years ago, the moment I read about this Four Noble Truth, I tell myself, no need to search. This is the true teaching. I say, whomsoever 2,000 years ago can summarize all of his great understanding into just Four Noble Truths, he is the real one. So because of that, this Four Noble Truths have a great impact on me when I first read it. You will have this understanding if you have cultivated before. But the problem with most cultivators is when you cultivate, you didn't know how to make the aspiration or determine to remember clearly this teaching, so that life after life you come, you want to have this understanding. If you determine like that, every time you come, because you have taken refuge with the Triple Gem, then immediately when you hear about it or read about it, you straight away connect. This is how powerful this Four Noble Truth is. So if it has an impact on you, then it's very good. Means in the past, you have cultivated before. But for those who make aspiration, very fast they will get it. They don't need anybody to explain to them. So the Four Noble Truth, the reason why it's so powerful is, it's just like how I came to realize. I say all of life, mundane and super mundane, they are all there. You know? Who, what being in this universe can actually explain everything about life in just Four Noble Truth? That's why I say the Buddha is really, really the true one, the fully enlightened one. Then the other thing is also, when I understand this Four Noble Truth, I understand life. You know? That's why I know how to live, and I know how to develop the cultivation. Then I will know how to make use of all this understanding to help me develop the mind, to liberate the mind. So this part is very important. So, Four Noble Truths, we need to go into it so that you understand the importance of it, then you can see the great wisdom of Lord Buddha. Because this is the teaching that is given free. And yet, it is so beneficial, so powerful. So determined to understand this truth. Because when you understand this truth, you understand the secret of life. Then you know how to live life. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. That's why living beings suffer. Human suffering is very real. And the first noble truth that the Buddha actually proclaimed summarized to you the realities of life and existence. When you live life, all these eight realities, they will manifest. And these realities are mundane reality within the conditioned world. So we now start with the first noble truth. Huh? What is the first noble truth? Yeah? Noble truth of? Dukkha. So it's a noble truth. Huh? Sorry. It never say life is suffering. It just tell you that there is a noble truth that describes clearly to you what suffering is. Yeah? Noble truth of dukkha. So this one explain to you the eight realities of life and existence. Everything that you need to know about life is all in this eight reality. The first four is very common. We are Chinese, yeah? Our culture, we always talk about it. Yeah? In Mandarin, it's 生老病死. Yeah? But a lot of people doesn't like to be reminded of this four thing. Yeah? Because to them, it's like, you are telling me I'm going to die. So, the reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, everybody need to confront. If you live long enough, you have to confront. And when you confront them without wisdom, the Buddha say, you become miserable, you become afflicted. You have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety because you cannot accept the reality. You believe this body is you. You don't want it to grow old, get sick and die. You don't want your loved one to get old, get sick and die. That's the reason why in this world, wherever there is old age, sickness and death, living beings get afflicted unless they have the wisdom. Then the other four realities are equally traumatic. The fifth reality is separation. Huh? Separation from what? From? Loved ones and your prized possession, things that you think you own. Your property, your wealth, your possession, things that you hold on to dearly, like your antique or whatever, even your career and whatever, your title and all those things. So when conditions cease to be, when they separate from you, living beings get afflicted, suffering arise. What are the examples that you can give on separation that give rise to suffering? The first one is what? Separation from loved one. How does it happen? Yeah? Death is one of the possibilities. And death is very traumatic, isn't it? Especially loved one. Death can occur in many, many ways. Of course, the best is natural death. You live long enough. Then the other one is untimely death. What is untimely death? Death due to accident, calamity like earthquake, tsunami, building collapse, and all the various calamity. Nowadays, including snatch thief, understand? You can be hospitalized if you are not careful. That's why you have to avoid all evil, take care of karma. Otherwise, when condition is there, you become the victim. Previously, you snatch thief, you do all this to other beings you don't know. Then now condition is there, you get it back. So depending on how severe you inflict on other people, when karma ripens, when there is condition, this form of mind that you take, this present life or whatever life, they will have to go through the friction of it, the result. So when you know that, you understand the deep meaning behind the Buddha's advice. Why I have to avoid all evil, not only avoid evil, all evil, so that there is no possibility of it happening. So initially you try your best, and so then you have less and less of this karmic negativity that can result in the negative karma to come and afflict you when you are born again. So all this understanding is very important, and it comes from the first right view, law of karma. Then there is another possibility of forced separation due to poverty when you are young, or due to war, or due to certain type of political situation. So separation can happen. Then the other one is separation from your wealth, your money, your possession, and even your career or your whatever title that you are given. Like our Malaysian scenario, very famous, all your Datuk Tan Sri can be drawn back by the king and the sultan. So that time, separate, no more title. But even when you still hold a title, when your breath stops, your identity erased, you don't own anything. The separation occurs again. Then the other thing about separation is, for human being, it's not only death, relationship failure. That separation is very traumatic. When relationship fail, it can result in what? Divorce. There were a lot of people, I think, familiar with this problem. Just sometimes they witness a lot. Then during the early days, I remember, a lot of these Kayanamita who came to the class, I was so surprised. So many also confronting divorce. Then all the typical divorce problem one, a lot of other Kayanamita bring them to see me. So I can only share with you the truth, the understanding. The rest is up to you. But most of these people in that state of mind, they got a lot of hatred, anger, and jealousy. You find it very difficult for them to listen to you unless they have their past affinity and karma. Then when I mention to them, very likely, is it? There's a nature's law, you reap what you sow. Past life, when you are in a position, you also, like your husband, did that to you. And I did that to other people. They say now you become lady, you become the wife. This civilization, the men tend to do this. And then you become the victim. I said, fair or not? And you know what they always tell me? Got such thing on man. They do. I said, then I said, why only you kena this type of thing, other people don't kena? And those who kena, very likely they did it to people before. So I said, if you want to understand life, you have to understand this nature's law. I say law of physics also got action and reaction, isn't it? Cause and effect, isn't it? This is moral causation. The Buddhists call it law of karma. You don't have to believe, understand? But why is it happening to you? Understand? And how come you reacted so badly? Your last time when you make people miserable, you cause them a lot of suffering, a lot of fear, a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred. That is the result you have to pay. Then sometimes you are not married, like the teenager, you are not exempted from this type of suffering. When your girlfriend and boyfriend decide to terminate the relationship, what happened? You get jilted. Sometimes this youngster very funny, because of relationship. Before marriage, they can go and commit suicide like that. Just one letter, then they commit suicide. It's very common. So nowadays, teenagers, they have been subject to a lot of stress, relationship failure, career problem, financial problem, and all these life-related reality problems. So the Buddha said the fifth reality, separation, is very severe. Then possession and wealth, what are the probable conditions for it to happen? like your property, your wealth and all things, how do you lose them or separate from them? All the nature's disaster, fire, flood, everything. Then you say, but till I got insurance, no need to worry. Okay, fair enough, insurance. But when there is a crisis, yeah, like financial crisis, yeah, then certain type of political scenario, yeah, that lead to a lot of what they call separation. Like last time in Indonesia, remember? The Chinese population very small. In the 60s, I remember. The government policy caused the Chinese all to flee Indonesia. Otherwise, they plunder your wealth and everything, and they make life very difficult for you. So when you encounter all this government policy or racial discrimination, then they can just take your asset, take your possession. And last time, Communist China also did that, you remember? During the, I think, early years, 40s, 50s, 60s, my father used to tell me, oh, he said the Communist government all overnight becomes state-owned. You don't own anything, the citizen. But they're very good, no? Later on when they open up, they return, no? My father said, they return to you. And their record is very funny, no? Only the village or province, the head pen, they call the person, they have a record. And what record? Not computer, no? Write a book on. Not 350, it's a big book. And this is how they record the ancestor, how many generations, or they got this book. So when there are such conditions, then you own. When conditions cease to be, it was separate from you. Then the other thing that the Buddha asks you to reflect every day, the five daily contemplation, the fourth one is about separation. He said, whatever that you think you own, your loved one or your possession or your wealth or whatever, they are not permanent, the Buddha said. When condition is there, it like appear you own. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. So this, the Buddha said, they can separate from you anytime. So when condition cease to be, they separate. But the easiest separation condition is when your breath stops. Your identity erased. You don't own anything anymore. So everything become inheritance. If you got a will, they will do a proper inheritance for you. But you don't have a will, they have to go and put out letter of administration and all that. Then you don't own anything. So when you understand this reality, then you tell yourself, what is ownership? Who own? What own? Even the form and mind you cannot own. Then how can you own other things? That's why the Buddha make it very clear in the Dhammapada verse. I forgot which Dhammapada verse. I used to hear about this quote. The Buddha said, my wealth, my loved one, my possession. He said, this only the fools lament, foolish people, F-O-O-L. For that very body, also he cannot own. Wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein possession. Understand? Reflect on it clearly. If you can't even own this form of mind, which is not a reality, how can you own any other thing? That's why if you understand life, you come to this world, it's because you have a tool and a vehicle, chemically conditioned form of mind for you to live, to experience life, to do what you need to do here, to cultivate all things. So do that part with understanding. That's why you have a duty in the conditioned world. The law of karma recognizes relationship. But you need to develop spiritual understanding, otherwise you cannot cope with life. That's why this noble truth are very important. That's why you need to strive on your heedfulness to develop this understanding. Then when this spiritual understanding is there, there is a possibility of enlightenment. Then after that, life will be beautiful. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You will live the life of a noble one, enlightened one. Free of suffering, free of fear, worry, anxiety, free of sorrow and lamentation. Then life becomes so beautiful, so meaningful. No more problem. Understand? Everybody look forward to that type of life, but you never understood it's important. Sometimes the thought tell you, don't dream, you where got chance. Then you don't want to do, understand? Or You say, I'm not like the Buddha lah, I'm not like the Bodhisattva lah, I where can? Then, before you even try, you already cut yourself off. But your life, you decide. If you choose to be like that, nobody can help you. Like the Buddha said, you hold the key to your own life destiny. Correct? To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Why can't you choose to be happy? Then why are you not happy, not peaceful? You go and inquire into it. Don't tell me living beings are so foolish. Don't know how to choose. Why don't you go and ask yourself, if I choose to be happy, will I be happy? Yeah? Will you be happy? When you have the Dhamma, of course you say yes. But before you have the Dhamma, everybody also want to be happy. But the problem with human beings is, they want to be happy, you know. Then the Buddha say very easy, avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. He say, what you mean? But everything they do is to make themselves miserable. Because they heedless, do a lot of evil. They never follow the advice. Because they don't know this Dhamma. They don't know what is evil. They don't know what is heedlessness. That's why they are caught in suffering. Yet, not knowing that this is suffering. And that is the most miserable. So, as a Buddhist, like I mentioned in the seminar paper, you are indeed very blessed to have such a religion, a teaching that is so beautiful. Out of love and compassion for all of humanity, the Buddha gave it free. Yeah. And you can understand everything about life just from his teaching. Yeah. And you don't have to pay a single cent to learn it, to understand it. That's why the Buddha is really, really compassionate. Then, after that, there is a sixth reality. What is the sixth reality? When you are? With people whom you don't like. Understand not? What are the people whom you don't like that you get problem with? First thing you can recall is very easy. Mother-in-law. but not all like that. Some mother-in-law are very good. Like my mother, very good. Then who else? Office boss. The unreasonable boss. Because if you go and work, you know, sometimes your boss can be very demanding. Your superior can be very demanding. Then people who are very nasty, very unpredictable. Understand? Very temperamental, a good word. So, out of the blue, he just tell you all and give you a piece of his mind. Then you like got a shock. You know, why is this guy doing this to me? Then sometimes when you are at home with your friends, your colleague and your loved one, then somehow there is misunderstanding and you cannot get along. And because of some misunderstanding, you keep on holding on to the anger, the hatred. Then you keep on clinging to it. Until before you die also, you still don't want to forgive. So when you have this type of situation, every time you see that person, it's very difficult for you to be happy or to be at peace. That's why you must have the Dhamma to deal with such condition. That as student, you go to school, they got what? Bullies and all those things. Then in society also, you got people who can extort you, rob you, and all those things. So these are the people whom you may not like. But life is like that. If you don't take care of karma, it will happen. So when you are with people whom you don't like, temperamental, difficult people, unfriendly people, very authoritative people, especially in the career field, if your bosses have this type of funny thinking, they used to go to special course to train for CEO, how to maximize the output of your staff or subordinate. So they introduce management by, what is it? Fear and harassment. They put fear in you and harass you. So this type of boss very difficult to be with. They squeeze you until dry. Then they put fear in you. If you don't deliver, don't see me. You don't have to come to work. They harass you. They give you a deadline. They give pressure to you. They scold you some more in the meeting. So there are a lot of very traumatic cases. Not only low down in the rank, even high management staff also got it. I was told certain company not easy to work with. You are the CEO number one, is very fierce. So that one, in front of the management meeting, very high level, there was one staff, very senior. Oh, he kena kau kau. Really, that one is a true story. Then after that, this top management staff, he like very unhappy. He put up the hand. He tell the CEO, it's very unfair, for you to say all this, because I'm not given a chance to defend. You know what the CEO say? He didn't even give you another chance to defend. He said, I must be a stupid fool to hire you in the first place. Wow, when he say that, they know his story closed. So he has to leave. And there are a lot of these things in society. Depend on your karma. So if that CEO did that to people, in future you get another CEO did that to him. So then he reap what he sow. So these are the reality of life and existence. Then the seventh one is what? When you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy, disappointed. But you can add in. When your expectations are not met, this one is more easier to understand. When you cannot get what you want, then you develop what? Unhappiness. Then if it's relationship, you develop hatred, envy, jealousy. Then expectation is very, very common. Actually, in life, you didn't understand all this is because you didn't really encounter or aware of all this. I have people who come and talk to me with all their problems. You know what they tell me? He said, Brother Teo, my own family member, they don't come and see me. Whereas my friend more concerned, they come and see me. They can think like that. Why they think like that? Because they expect. Understand? The word is expect. Their family member to love them, to understand them better. But then I ask back, I say, do you love your family member? They also may have the same thought, no. Are you caring? Do you really, really love them? Express your love and help them. That's why all this expectation can bring about a lot of misunderstanding and suffering. Then when in the work environment also say, wow, you work so hard, because the encouragement is you will be rewarded. Then what happens? You expect to be promoted. You say this time, sure, my turn already, because you work so hard. Every time you see the boss say, good, good, good. But end of the day, the promotion come, another relative of the boss get it. That one didn't work hard. Then what you do? Wow, you become so angry, so unhappy, and so frustrated. Then the thought come out. This company cannot work on. This type of boss. Why? Because initially the expectation that time you work so hard, the expectation not met, you are afflicted. So this is what suffering is all about, the Buddha said. And this is a real life example. Then the last one is, the Buddha said, in short, he summarized everything, it is due to your self-delusion that conditioned you to grasp and cling on to this so-called five aggregate of form and mind, which is what the living being is all about. And for human being, it's this human being, that the human form and mind that you take birth. He said, if you don't believe, you go and check, go and investigate. When you cling to this body, what happens? You think and believe it's you. That's why you worry about getting old, getting sick and die. That's why there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is suffering when this form goes the way of nature. That's why the Buddha asks you to contemplate, five daily contemplate, the first three, so that you understand the reality of this form and do not be deluded by it when you confront it. So that you can still be at peace and accept that reality and do what you have to do. Fulfill your duty, responsibility, and develop wisdom to liberate. Yeah. That's why the Buddha said, suffering need not be, you have the wisdom, you have the understanding. So this is a very important aspect of the teaching. Then this five degree of form and mind, you got to inquire deep. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand? To understand what must you develop the understanding? You must understand what the five aggregate of form and mind is. Isn't it? If that one also you don't know how to put to test, that's why you first inquire. What does the Buddha mean by the five aggregate of form and mind? The only hint in the teaching is what? He said form and mind, rupa and citta or mana. So, mind has got four aggregates there. So, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vinyana. The teaching just say like that. Then you have to figure out head or tail what this thing is. Understand? So, if you don't have somebody who understand to explain to you, I tell you, it's very difficult to understand what is five degrees, especially the two aspects. The first aspect, most people can get it. But the second aspect, very few. Then the other thing about this first noble truth reality is, it's described in the scripture as this eight condition, understand? But society has evolved, understand? I remember him.
So he's here.
Wow, sadhu.
Champi's here.
Wow, I know Champi.
Yeah, so I make an appointment.
Good. Sadhu. Very good. Champi from Thailand. A Thai lady in PJ. We know her very well. Then Achan Jan. I know Achan Yantra's uncle, Jamin. Jumen. What's that name?
Julian,
is a very good monk. The photo is there. So, there is good condition. He's here. Understand? So, he has made appointment to see him at 5 o'clock. So, sadhu, we rejoice. And I can tell you, Achan Yantra's uncle got one. I tell you, that one is really good. I will tell you the story, but remind me to tell you the story. How many of you want to go? Okay, all. Where is he? He's in the room. Okay, Kia Farm. Then we need transport. Four car can take how many? Cannot. Never mind, don't worry, we will work it out. You work out. Then I'll No, never mind, I think we will make some choice. Because some of you may not be familiar with the Thai monk or those things. So you maybe next time. Not to say I bias, but these people got affinity and they have been with me for a while. So unless you really have affinity, like Brother Tay, he wants to go, you let me know. Because you are more familiar with Burmese monk. Not really. Burmese monk. Cannot. Yeah, he is not here in this temple. Cannot. So anyway, we will pay a visit because there is condition. And this monk is beautiful. You see the photo, you know. Okay. Never mind. We continue. Yes. Cannot, because he is not visiting here. He happened to be around, and I don't know how. Joyce, I don't know. It's the condition. No, unless you got Champi's number. I talk to Champi, then got chance. But we cannot invite monk to this temple, right? Because we don't have the authority. We don't have the authority. I don't know. You can try. No, you can get Jumpy's number. You ask Joyce. Call her and I will talk to her. Then we see how. Phone number. Then I can talk to her. Oh, after let Joyce come back first. Okay, we continue. Where did I stop just now? I just finished the first double throw, is it? Oh, okay, expectation. Yeah. No, two aspects of five degrees of formula I cover already. I think I almost finished the first noble truth reality. So, what you need to understand is, now I remember. This eight reality is in scriptural form, understand or not? If you go and talk to your children, the Buddha says birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering, separation. I tell you, he tell you enough. Yeah, they cannot relate to all this, understand? It's too scriptural and technical. That's why the teaching cannot penetrate. Understand? But if you explain like what I explain, give example what separation means, oh, then they can relate. Then they know. Oh, that's why in modern terminology, separation from loved one means divorce. Divorce, they understand. Girlfriend dump you. They understand. Drop you like a coconut. They understand. Yeah, these are modern civilization terminology. Then you say health problem. They understand. Financial problem. Lagi fast, they understand. Yeah, credit card problem. Lawyer's problem. Then police case. Career problem. You have to use modern term and term to actually explain to them. So don't be too eager to share your knowledge. That's why I realize why Buddhism for so many years couldn't really penetrate the masses and flourish. It's because the teaching is so scriptural and so traditional, and so few people know how to relate it to life. Understand? That is the main reason. But the funny thing is, all those who talk to me, you know what they tell me? Even Subang Jaya, Wendy Chiu and the husband, after they listen, they say, "Brother Tio, Dhamma like that one way, I never heard before one." They say, "Oh." So, yeah, the Dhamma they heard is the traditional one. But when you explain all they relate to their problem, they understand. That's why the way I share, Alicia, Oh, good, I talk to her. Hey, Jumpy, Satu. Satu, come, Jumpy, come. I heard Ajahn Yantra uncle is here, is it? Lao Po, what? Jamian, Satu. So, he is now where? Kiara Farm, okay? Come, Jumpy, come. Don't worry. Yeah. I got some books for you also. Very good books. No problem. Kiara Farm, is it possible, because we got 40 of us, we got not enough transport, is it possible to invite Ajahn, Long Paul, Jermaine, to come over here and we pay respect and meet him? Is it possible? You check and see, you call Joyce. I give you. You write my number for her also, I give you the book now before I forget. Jumpy has been a very long time Kayana Mita. We started same time, that time at Brickfield.
And that time their children also very young like my children. But she is very, very strong in the Buddhist faith. She actually a Thai. But her English very good. Married to a, is it a Malaysian? That she has been staying here very long. Let us rejoice in meeting her. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Champi, long time haven't seen you. This is the only small gift I can give to you. Sadhu, sadhu. You hold properly. These are the recent book that we printed. Most of them are the sharing that I gave, the transcript and the short notes. And also the talk. A few of them are based on the talk. You read the introduction, you will know. Then one of them is the seminar in Thailand, Bangkok, International Buddhist Seminar, where they invited me to give a talk representing the Malaysian side lay speaker. So it's indeed great affinity that we can meet here. Sadhu, a long time. Yeah, very near. Yeah, very close. Has to. Then her Thai food very good. Her Thai laksa. Oh, we are during the what? Vesak day. They help out. I remember the Assam laksa or the Thai. Thai laksa. Very nice. Yeah, for it. So. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. What makes you come here? Very good.
My friend, the master, the
Sifu, he went to visit Tong Kong. Oh, no wonder. Sadhu, sadhu.
From there, my friend will bring me here.
Sadhu, sadhu.
So I think
sadhu.
One of the sisters go down and said that all the people.
Oh, Dhamma, okay. Oh, sadhu. Small world, small world. Meant to be. So, you let us know whether possible. Otherwise, we will send 4 cars down. 4 cars, about 20 over of us. 5 each, also 20. There is a MPV. I know, very near. Oh, 2 trip lah. 2 trip, okay. We will go and see him there. Easier, no need to invite him over. Okay? Like that better, Jamfi. Sato. We have made appointment what time? 5. So we have to leave at about 4:30. 4:30 we can break off. No, we can leave any time. Okay. Thank you so much. Sadhu. Don't worry. No, you are not disturbing. We are in the midst of actually finishing the Four Noble Truths. So no problem. I can wrap it up very fast. Okay. Sadhu. Thank you. We should thank Champi for the good condition. Long Po is a very good monk. I have heard of his name, Jamian.
Uncle, I know.
Last time he got another uncle who passed away. Oh, that one also very good. That time was the 80s and the 90s. Thank you, Champi Sato. Nice meeting you after so long. Yeah, we started together all the Dhamma practice and cultivation. Nancy, Champi, Dale, Thomas, and all those people. Then Chok, Achok, Natasha, Dale. Go. They every time, every year, one or two times, they call us for tetari and all those things. Then Chinese New Year, they invite each other. Very good, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much, Champi. So we will go and visit Long Po. You try to arrange. Thank you so much. Sadhu. Yeah, sadhu. Very good. Small one. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, see you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Never mind, lah, you get from Joyce, lah, little. Thank you so much, ah, Chambi. Sadhu. Yeah. That's why when there is condition,things just happen. It's almost 20, 30 years ago since we last actually met and all those things. Yeah, Thai. I think must be the Thai friend. Sadhu. Yeah. Okay, we can continue. So just now I already finished first noble truth. The modern terminology very important. When you want to share something, you always remember. Modern kids, youngster, they cannot understand the scriptural description of the eight realities. They will say, forget about it. And now, don't come and tell me all these things. Because to them, nothing concerns them. They cannot understand. But when they get into trouble, then you explain, all this is part of this. Oh, then they appreciate it. Because, as I told you earlier on, a lot of these people, before they get into trouble, they don't want to know about the teaching, the Dhamma. Then when I say, you understand the teaching, yeah lah, Buddhism teach life is suffering, that's why I don't want to understand it. Then the next thing I say, who tell you that? He said, everywhere I go, they say life is suffering. Then sometimes they heard it from other religion. He said, why you go to Buddhism? The Buddha only teach suffering, no happiness, no joy, no peace and all things. He said, you come to our religion, they promise you the kingdom of God. And so, love and compassion everywhere, Jesus love, and they call you. Then a lot of Chinese, I think, become gullible. Yeah lah, to choose between suffering and love, he said, definitely he will choose love. And so that is how it's difficult to get the message through to the masses. But it's okay because law of karma, everyone is just the way they are. So those who have affinity, when they come, when they talk to me, then they realize the Dhamma that I share is so different from what they used to hear. Even that Polai, remember? Polian, that group one, Song's good friend. You know, first time he come to my Tuesday class, end of the class, I wait for everybody to go back, she got question, she don't want to go. Then together with Song, they sat until everybody left, almost 11:30, I remember. We end at 10:30. Then he start to ask me, in Mandarin, he said, what you teach is very strange, he said. I can relate to what you teach, but what I heard from all the temple I go, he said, Mahayana, the mother taker, they teach one all different one. I cannot relate to life one. He said, what you teach one, I can relate to life. Then I knew already. I knew she has the past affinity already. So I tell her, I said, okay, now you listen. I will expound to you the first noble truth. Then I will summarize the second, third, and fourth. Immediately I expound the first noble truth and summarize that thing. She was full of joy. He said, this is what she has been looking for so long. That's why it's so different. Then after that, I think they left at 12 something. Then after that, a lot of things happened to her. She get connected and a lot of things. But she has her karmic past too. She got to go through a lot of difficulty. But she learned very fast, very, very fast. So, law of karma is like that. You have to take care of your karma, okay? So, first noble truth. Understood, eh? Then after that, the Buddha said, after you have understood what the conditioned world's reality are, then you have to go to the second noble truth, the Buddha said. He said, whatever suffering that you have, caused by the First Noble Truth reality. He said there is a cause behind. And the cause behind is, what is it? Self-delusion. Condition your grasping to the five area. Cause behind. Craving. Born of delusion. Oh, delusion. So this one is self-delusion, the atta. You deludedly think this is you, the form and mind. You grasp to it. So the Buddha say, after you have understood what suffering is and the cause behind, at least at the intellectual level, knowledge level, you can do something about your life, isn't it? If you want to avoid suffering, then don't hold so tight. Don't be so deluded. But the Buddha say, if you use intellect, it can help you to a small extent. Because ultimately, you cannot free from that suffering. Especially when something very personal happens to your loved one and all those things. Then all your Dhamma gone. I remember one of them, if I'm not wrong, he was once a president of one of the Buddhist society. The president of. He one day landed in hospital, and the doctor said, very likely, you got prostate cancer. Oh, he said, Brother Teo, that time, all the Dhamma fly out. He said, deep fear. He said, that 1 week was traumatic before the biopsy result came out. Yeah, I visited him and he told us. Oh, but he has been very honest, a very nice guy. He said, I tell you, Brother Teo, this is no joke, man. He said, they say, let go. Wow, and it happened to you. How to let go? That thought was so strong. It's like hell. Really, that way goes like hell. Because the doctor, there was a preliminary test for the blood test. Then he got one indicator very high. He said, you got problem. It's okay. Then he asked the doctor, what you mean by have problem? He said, very likely you got prostate cancer. Don't know what stage, he said. Then he said, what you mean? He said, if you don't listen to me and go through my advice treatment, 6 months. His whole face pucat. And that time he was only 50-something, coming to 60, I tell you. You got Dhamma, president. And yet the face pucat. He told us, he shared with us. He was laughing. After that, the biopsy result came out negative. Then he got a second opinion. The other doctor said, this instantaneous one, the indicator can go out one, it can shoot out one. But it doesn't mean you have it. They say, fa yan at that time, got infection. Then it shoot out. Then he said, once the antibody go in, then you do the biopsies. Most of the time, it's not that one, is it? Because it has its, what they call, fa yan. In English, you call it infection. Inflammation. Inflammation. Then after that, the Buddha said, don't be worried, he said. He tell you, there is a third noble truth. Suffering need not be. Wow, that time you very happy. That's not. But he qualified, provided you have the wisdom. When there is wisdom, suffering may not be, because the enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. Understand? So, Nibbana, in the here and the now, can be realized in the here and the now. So, suffering may not be. Here and the now. Then he didn't stop there. No. He said, not only I tell you it can be done, I even tell you how to do it. That is the most beautiful. That's a noble eightfold path, he said, under the fourth noble truth. He said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Yeah? It will lead to the end of all suffering. And you can become enlightened. You can liberate your mind. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, understand? Because when you have Noble Eightfold Path, you completely follow the advice of the Buddha. Noble Eightfold Path is about what? Right view. Right view means you have right understanding of life. Then you have right thought, right speech, right action, incapable of negativity, right livelihood, right effort to purify your thought. Then right mindfulness, to be aware, to be heedful. Then right samadhi. So this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So if you have cultivated this Noble Eightfold Path, then you can become a noble one. Noble ones are enlightened ones in the time of the Buddhas, during the Buddha's time, because they are very noble in every aspect of life. They are very noble in their understanding of life. That's why they got right view. They are very noble in the way they express their thought. That's why they got right thought. They don't simply think all the wrong thought that bring about suffering. They don't waste time on all those things. Then they are very noble in the way they communicate with people. Their speech are impeccable. Proper, gentle, pleasant and good speeches. Born of understanding and wisdom. Then all of their actions are with wisdom, with understanding, free of the evil root, no selfishness, nothing. Then the way they live their life is a blessing to all, very beautiful. Then they have four right efforts to constantly purify, refine and perfect themselves. Then they also have heedfulness or great mindfulness. They are very noble in the aspect that they are very heedful, they are very mindful. They are very sensitive to living beings' suffering and problem. That's why they got a lot of love and compassion. And because of that, when that stabilized, they have samadhi. They are not affected. Then that samadhi gives rise to the collected, unwavering mind. And through that, they develop wisdom. That's why they penetrate the Buddha Dhamma. Then they realize the truth. They understand life. They can live. They don't need to go through life in the typical way of a Puttajana. Means they don't need to worry about life. They don't need to have any more suffering, misery or unhappiness. To live a life of complete joy, happiness and meaning, free of all suffering, worry, anxiety, fear, sorrow and lamentation. Such a life is beautiful, isn't it? Grana, yeah? You want that type of life, right? They're very simple. Strive on with heedfulness. Finish. Be heedful. You are there already. Yeah? So I think we finish. Yeah? Unless you got any other question. So this one, at least, yeah? Make you understand life better. Huh? Then you go and read the seminar note again. Very beautiful. Yeah. Then you can understand life very well. Then you can help people.
This liberate your mind is the mundane mind, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You go above the deluded mundane mind. But because this mundane mind is actually connected to your nature, the direct seeing develop the wisdom. So when the wisdom is there, this mundane mind is no longer deluded. Understand? No? Understand? No? You can follow? No? The five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded. So you can say this five aggregate of form and mind is enlightened. Understand? No? This five aggregate of form and mind is enlightened, but not me. Understand? No? Then you are not deluded. Because the Diamond Sutta is the best. You go and read. I think I wrote in the WhatsApp chapter 9 there. Huh? I reply to you all. Joyce. Tuesday night you all ask me that, then I cannot find that. Then later I WhatsApp. Huh? My Karamita. Oh no, Tuesday class. Tuesday class. Chapter 9, huh? Chapter 9, huh? You can read chapter 9, that is the best. Sakyamuni Buddha, when he was delivering this Diamond Sutta, he asked Subhati, you know. He said, Venerable Subhati, we asked the disciple, he said, Oh Subhati, he said, what do you think? He said, can a Sotapan have the thought that he is a Sotapan? The Buddha asked him. And this Subhati very wise, though. He said, no. The Sotapan won't have that thought anymore. Why? Because he already severed the first three fetters, remember? First fetter is what? Sakkayatiti. So he knows this form and mind is not him. He is not deluded anymore. No? That's why he cannot grow. Then you tell him, hey, you die already. Your soul become what? You go to eternal hell. He said, thank you so much. Because he knows this one is condition arising. Nothing. Rebirth is another thing. But this is not the real one. So eternal hell, who go to eternal hell? You mean this form of mind? Consciousness separate, the random of consciousness still here. Then who go to eternal hell? Then who go to heaven? This is what they believe. So when you don't have understanding, then you have this problem. But when you already penetrate, even a Sotapan know that that form of mind is not them. Oh, then after that, the Buddha continued to ask, then what about the Sakadagami? What about the Anagami? What about the Arahant? What about the Bodhisattva? One by one he asked. And all he answered, no, no more. He said. That's why when you have developed the wisdom, you liberate already. This liberate your mind means that mind is not deluded anymore. Understand? Not the mundane mind. That's why that mundane mind doesn't suffer anymore. Understand? Then you can say he enlightened himself. He's not deluded anymore. So this mundane mind know how to live life. That's why from there onward, third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, will arise. And this form of mind will get to live the beautiful life of a noble one. Understand? But that one is not you. Oh, that's why Ajahn Chah say, don't try to be an arahant. So, becoming will prevent you from becoming arahant. Then you still think you already enlightened. You go and check. That type of enlightenment got atta one. So it's a different type of enlightenment that the Buddha talk about. So all this you can understand when you cultivate accordingly. Okay? Very good question. Thanks. Sadhu. Okay. We still got 15 minutes. So anything else you want to know or you want to report any meditation or ask any question, you can. Then afterwards, I think maybe if they notify us, we straight away go. We make full use of the time. Where we need to make 2 trips. 10 minutes to reach there. To reach there, then come back 10 minutes. Oh, I don't know. Oh, is it? Oh, there's a question. Very good. Thank you, Sadhu. Very good. Okay. Brother Teo, I believe in karma, is it? The question said. But still doubt about it. God like that one. Believe, but God. What type of belief is that? Like I trust you, but I don't believe what you say. like the pastor say, easy to forgive, cannot forget. But never mind, since it's a genuine question. If I know about my karma according to Buddha teaching, I can't escape from it. This is a very good question. But if I change religion, which has a different belief, will this karma still follow me? This type of question, really very interesting. You may change religion, karma no more effect. This is a nature's law, no? Regardless of what religion, it's nothing to do with religion, no? It's a nature's law. That's why in the what they call the talk, the international seminar paper, I wrote very clearly. There are five great laws that govern the whole universe. Pancha Niyama. First two are scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Vijja Niyama. The other three are spiritual law, law of karma. These are Nietzsche's law, not Buddha create one. I was like, Buddha don't send you to hell, don't make you suffer. Because Buddha never do that. But the other type of God can send you to eternal hell, you don't believe him. So you ask yourself, which one you want to follow? You want the easy way, of course, you only need to believe. Then promise eternal life. But that promise come after death. After you die, eternal life. When you die, he cannot give you the promise. He cannot fulfill. So you have to take a big chance. And the best joke is, they wrote in the internet. I sidetracked a bit. They got this story, you know, that it's a group of politicians who has this, what they call, curiosity. Whether really there is heaven and hell or not. So, it seems an angel try to help them. He said, you don't believe, come, I take you to hell and heaven. So the angel take them there. So they go and see. Then they see one place. Wow, everything, food, wine, music, everything so beautiful. So the politician said, this must be heaven. The angel just keep quiet. Okay, now I bring you to another place. Wow, he saw there a lot of suffering. No, a lot of these old people. You know, this one definitely hell, is it? So the angel said, remember, this gate go to, you say heaven, this gate go to hell. So next time when you die, remember which gate to go. Then when they die, they went up there, they confidently, I want that gate, heaven. But the angel said, I never tell you it's heaven. No, you yourself say it's heaven. So he went in, suffer like man, that was hell. Then he complained to the angel. He said, what the hell is going on? What are you trying to tell me? You are deceiving me. He said, the angel said, no. You are a politician, you know that. When you come through that door that time, they were campaigning like you. Politician campaign, they promise you everything. But after election, you cannot see that. So he said, you came at the campaign time. The politician got no words. Then he said, what about the other side? Oh, the other side is purposely heaven. You cannot recognize that that is heaven because you didn't go inside. You only see outside that you don't like. Then you just straight away assume it's hell. Actually, that is just a camouflage. Inside, really, heaven. That's why you don't go and perceive through what you see. You investigate and find out. So that joke, I find it very interesting. So it teach politician a lesson. Be a genuine politician. Otherwise, you end up like that. So heaven and hell, you know, not to say we want to say anything negative about their religion. The individual is free to choose religion. But those who really, really understand Jesus' teaching is beautiful. You see, Christianity basically is very beautiful too. Jesus said, if you keep the Ten Commandments, then if you cultivate, believe him and cultivate his love and compassion, then you will have eternal life. He didn't lie. Correct? If you have the Ten Commandments, means you keep your precepts. If you cultivate love and compassion, it's virtue. With virtue, you will have wisdom. That's why you will have eternal life. But he never said, you believe me, after you die, you have eternal life. This one is the people who want to promote that religion and get donation from you. They put this one in. Because there are people who wrote about the Bible. He said, the Bible show how Jesus healed. No, he never asked for money. Jesus, at that time, he performed a lot of miracles. But all this, they quote, according to these people who analyze the Bible. So you have to be careful you don't become gullible, because it's very easy to understand, isn't it? You should share.
It says, if I can remember, it's actually a conversation between life and death. So the life...
I heard that before, yeah, very good.
The life asks death. Why is the... Why does everybody loves me and hate you? And death answer. Say, because you are a beautiful lie and I'm a painful truth.
You got the answer or not? You don't hear. Oh, he said, death, answer life. He said, people don't like you because you are a painful truth. Understand? But people like life. Understand? Because it paints something beautiful. Understand?
Actually, life asked, it's a conversation between life and the death, okay. And life says, why do people like me so much, but hate you? So death answer, because you are a beautiful lie, L-I-E, okay, you're a beautiful lie, and I am a painful truth. I'm a painful truth.
Yeah,
T-R-U-T-H.
Yeah, truth. So when you understand it that way, it's beautiful. No wonder living being gullible, they don't want to have anything to do with death. They say, chui chui chui, pantang. Of all things, Chinese New Year talk about death. But the Buddha in his teaching actually advises you to contemplate on the death. Marana nasati, understand? Every day is a more. Oh, that's why you must reflect. Life is uncertain, but death is certain. So you would not guarantee that you will live until that age. That's why you don't go and project this thought. When I retire, I cultivate, I go full time. But you sure you can reach that age of retirement. So all this, you have to really, really reflect and contemplate. And now I answer this question. You say, I believe in karma, but still have doubt. Okay, fair enough, because you have not developed the understanding. You have not investigated deep into it. So you say, I know about my karma according to the Buddha's teaching, but I can't escape from it. It doesn't mean you can't escape. You must know how to develop the understanding to free from it. That's why the Buddha got teach. Ask for forgiveness, repentance, then cultivate wisdom. Once there is wisdom, karma got no power over you. Because it cannot torment you anymore and make you miserable anymore. It will reverse itself. I went through that, that's why I know. It has got no power. That's why Hatsutta say, Hatsutta is the best understanding to overcome karma, the three karmic obstruction, remember? That night we shared? The wisdom from Hatsutta is the most effective. Then the other question is, I have answered, if I change religion, which has different belief, will this karma still follow me? It's a nature's law, understand? It will be there recorded. So whether you believe in God, don't believe in God, or you follow whatever religion, it is still in nature's law. So once you understand, then you don't try to be like shortcut. Understand? Or I change religion. Then some lucky safe. They say, I believe both. I buy insurance just in case Christianity go there, I don't go to eternal heaven. I still got insurance. I'm still a Buddhist. I still take therapy. Like that also, people can come up with the idea. You might as well go and believe all the religion in this world and put insurance everywhere. But you can only cultivate based on understanding. So a lot of these things is what your thought will tell you. So it makes you gullible. But when you investigate and develop your own understanding and wisdom, then you will not have all this doubt, understand? Nature's law means what? Nobody can take away. You know? Even God also have to follow that law. You know? Understand not? Understand not? Because the best example was in 9-1-1. Huh? You remember? 9-1-1 when the plane crashed into the Twin Tower. So this Larry King, he hold a special talk among the four of them, I remember. He, then one Christian, one Muslim, and one, I don't know whether free thinker or the Hindu religion. So before he start, I said, I don't know whether your faith is shaken or not, whether their religion or belief in God. He said, personally, mine is shaken. Then he explained before they start now. He said, you know why I'm shaken? I was told my God is almighty. If he is almighty, how can he not know that 911 is coming? Why is he not loving and compassionate enough to save all those fellow Christians inside there? He said, why must that happen? He said, his faith is shaken. Oh. Then the other three, lucky best, he answer. He asked the Christian, the first one, what do you think? What will happen to all these people who do all this? For the Christian, first statement, they will go to eternal hell. First, they are non-believer, and they do very evil things. Then after that, come to the Muslim one. The Muslim one, very subtle, no? Very smart. No? If they really do jihad, as written in the Quran, then he said, very likely, nothing happened. because there is written inside there. Then after that, before the third one answer, Larry King stepped in. Because this third guy, he said, it appeared to me, he said, there are so many gods. Yeah, the Christian, the Hindu also got a lot. It's up to you to believe which one. But Larry King stopped him. It appeared to me now there is more than one God. So he said, in this case, 911, he said, the Christian got lost. The Muslim got Allah win. Wow, the Muslim very happy. The Christian, I think he was not so happy. Then the Hindu best, he said, our God is the best. They are the most peaceful and loving, is it? Because they are not involved. They don't go and plot. They don't go and do all these cunning things. Then he mentioned, he said, through history, is it, the Crusader War and all this war, is it, these two religions have been fighting all the while. Then they got a situation where the mosque is over the church, then the church is over the mosque. Is it? And it's happening everywhere. Then another one of the other guy also, no, I think the Christian, he also said, in India also same, is it? Is it your temple also above the mosque? And certain area, the mosque also above your temple. Is it? So all this do happen. So when you believe, then it is within the field of thought. It's just a belief. This is not the truth, not the reality. So believe, like the Buddha say, you don't believe anything. You investigate into it. If it's the truth, it stand up to investigation. That's why don't just become gullible and believe. You don't like write them off first. You find out for yourself. It's very easy. Then the other one is this Tibetan nun, Thubten Children. You heard of her? She is quite a humorous and good Tibetan. She wrote some book, The Monkey Mind and all those things, during early years at Brickfield. She came to Brickfield and gave a talk. So the Brickfield temple devotee, very curious, put out the hand and asked her, why you become a Buddhist nun when you are a Westerner, or they call quite low. You have Christian belief. Oh, she laughed and she burst into laughter. No? Then she said, wow, very good question. I will tell you why. His answer really beautiful. It's from a Westerner. when she was young, the parents take her to church and all those things, you know. And he was like conditioned by all the teaching, you know, that you must believe in God. God is almighty, he's the creator and everything, you know. Then later on, as she grew up, then she became very scientific, you know, where he studied science and all that. Then he realized, he said, something wrong with that type of teaching, is it? He said, if God is really what they say, almighty, omniscient, and all-powerful, then if I'm given God's power, he said, I can create a better world, is it? Not the world with all this suffering and misery, war, with all the different religion and all those things. You know, all are his creation. Is it? Then why you need to test living being and all those things? Then condemn non-believer to hell. They are all your created, your creation. No, he said, I cannot understand. No. Then he finally reflected, contemplated, he go deep into it. Yeah, he finally came to a conclusion. No. That was the reason why she became a Tibetan nun. Yes, she realized, he traced back the history, it was men who don't understand a lot of things that finally created God. No, not the other way around. No. Not God created man. They create God so that question or answer. No. God is almighty beyond question. Almighty and all this. So you cannot question one. No. So he said, it was man who created God, not the other way around. Then Jurassic Park, you all got to see that show. No? Oh, this one also very interesting. Jurassic Park, the dinosaur. So these two guys was at the Jurassic Park. Then they saw the dinosaur. No? Then the man and the lady, the woman, they start to have a discussion. No? He said, God created the world. God created human being. That man argued, no. God created dinosaur first. Dinosaur was here before. Man, he said. He said, okay, fair enough. God created dinosaur. Yeah? Then, God created man, okay? Then, dinosaur destroyed man. Woman ruled the world. That was the best. He said, God created dinosaur. God created man. Dinosaur destroyed man. So, woman ruled the world. That's what you got. And it was really spoken in that show. Though. I had a good laugh when I heard that. It's meant for comedy. And so. But it's just to tell you that human mind is like that. And so can come up with all version of things. That's why now you receive on the internet. A lot of this type of story coming out. 3 o'clock, we better stop. Eh? So you can have your meditation. What I do is, when they call up, then we stop the meditation. Okay? Otherwise, at 4 o'clock, I want to save some time, because today is the 17th. Tomorrow onward, we will follow another schedule, more strict one. Where you really go into the cultivation. Less Dhamma. Don't walk out. Stay here and meditate. Otherwise, we come back and I'll find you. Okay? We wait for Champi to come back to us. Okay. Thank you.